This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Open for Business on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. Having a little chat today about this company called Atlas Solutions. Founded in 2016, Atlas Solutions is a leading integrated security training and service provider in Southeast Asia. They supply UK and internationally recognized protection officers in and around the Southeast Asian region. They're the first organization in Malaysia who are able to train and certify individuals to the UK Home Office's close protection and bodyguarding standards. With this certification, individuals are able to apply to international career opportunities. They've conducted training for 5 cohorts in the past 1.5 years, have managed to train more than 50 students from a diverse mix of background and countries, ex-military, ex-police, ex-UN peacekeepers, people from the UK, Australia, South Africa. They empower their graduates to seek international careers in protection through providing the necessary qualifications, skills, mentorship, and networking. In the studio with me right now, I have Clement Chu, who is the founder and CEO. Himself worked in the security industry in the UK since 2007, returned to Malaysia in 2014, joined the Prime Minister's Department Transformation Unit, focusing on crime, focused on car theft, public order, police transformation, coordinated major police operations to prevent and detect organized crime, a secondment to the East African country to assist the President's Office in developing a major crime reduction strategy alongside the police, and at the end of 2016 saw the opportunity to start Atlas Solutions. Welcome to the show, Clement.
Thank you, Richard. Good to be here.
So, where do we start? Let's rewind a little bit to 2016.
Okay.
When you saw this opportunity to start this kind of company, why? What was the kind of initiative? What sparked it off?
Well, I think I've always been sort of passionate in the security industry ever since I came back from England. I worked with the government's crime reduction unit because I felt that I wanted to make a difference. So I think in 2016, I felt, look, there is a gap in the market for high-quality protection officers. And unfortunately, or fortunately for me, people within the region didn't know what a high standard was. Upon conducting market surveys, market research with companies, with individuals, I discovered that there was huge demand for a UK-regulated course where people then, instead of earning 2,500 to 3,000 ringgits a month, could earn almost double that. Or if they were lucky enough to get a posting overseas, could earn in US dollars per day.
When you talk about how the standard was not the same, how much of a discrepancy was there?
Not going to go into it in terms of, you know, the whole 25-page document, I think, which was produced. I think we produced that document quite some time ago. But the main things that are different between Malaysia and the UK are Malaysians are very into hard skills, shooting, driving, hand-to-hand combat, running, fitness. Whilst they're very good at doing that, obviously, but within the UK, we tend to focus on soft skills like conflict management, client briefings, having the right etiquette, even when driving. Basically, don't cut people off like we do in Malaysia. I mean, I'm not saying you should drive like the UK. So we felt that a lot of these soft skills were missing from the equation within Southeast Asia. And because of that, clients around the region, if they were local, couldn't quite see what, you know, what the gold standard was.
Right.
So that's how I feel the discrepancy between, obviously, Malaysian and UK standards really, really stands out in soft skills.
And how difficult was it for you to kind of convince the people that you're approaching that what you're offering is not only different, but beneficial for what they require?
Not going to lie to you, it's been quite tough because when you start starting a industry or starting a market, we call that blue ocean strategy, has its challenges. When you start a new market, people are unaware of who we are. They're unaware of our services. And it's, I believe it's the same for all new industries.
Because they're used to doing things their own way.
That's right.
Right.
Now, I could have, of course, you know, bought over an existing security company and started doing things the way things are being done at the moment. But I went the high path, didn't I? It has been challenging, but over the past couple of years, I feel we've been very successful in building our brand.
Right.
I mean, if you search close protection course Southeast Asia, or if you search close protection officer Asia, I think our SEO places us right at the top of Google.
Right.
And we've got sort of people coming over and asking if we can provide services for not just based in Malaysia, but overseas as well.
Yeah. So my question to you then now is, obviously you come with some experience, but for something like this that is, I guess many people will look at it as to who are the people that would need close protection? And we're talking about politicians, VIPs. Who approaches you? And when they do, what kind of assurances do you have? Like, you're don't get this wrong, you're a young person, right?
Yes.
And most people will look at you and go, okay, this guy's young. What kind of experience does he bring? And who is behind him to kind of prove to us that he walks a talk? And
Okay. I suppose I should start from the team that I have now. So we've got a number of people who sit on the board of directors, strategic advisors, and there are also people who represent the company. So I want to bring attention to, obviously, our most esteemed general, Datuk Nur Huda Ahmad. Now, she was the first female general in the armed forces that came from a general duties background. She was previously in the infantry and then the intelligence corps within the Malaysian Army. That is very, very rare for a female officer of that stature or of that military background to come to that rank. So with her at the helm of all our business development opportunities, she's able to offer first-hand advice on what companies really, really need in terms of what true protection is, drawing from a background from the military and obviously from the intelligence corps as well. That brings us a lot more customers. Yeah, Clement may be young, but he's surrounded by people who have experience and who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So,
and clearly have faith in Clement, otherwise they wouldn't be there.
Yeah, I'd like to hope so, yeah. I mean, they've very kindly agreed to represent the company, have their faces pasted, obviously, on the website, on all social media, and have been with me from the very start, attended meetings with me and represented the company well during conferences. So that's my team. We've also got First Admiral Datuk K, who was actually the Deputy Inspector General of the Armed Forces. What does that mean? He inspected military units to make sure that they were up to standards. So he's our standards guy, right? He can tell, okay, this is up to standard in terms of what you should be doing, not just from military standards, but for just generally, like, this is what you should be doing. So he's helped a lot in terms of business development. He's helped a lot in strategic development as well. He knows the right people to connect to. So these are the people that I have on my team at the moment. And I'd like to think that we are the glue, you know, that's keeping the company together and trust them completely.
Can you tell me a little bit about, who, you don't need to name names, obviously, some of your clients are or what kind of field they might be in?
Okay, so generally, we've got two different types of clients. The first client will be VIPs who are traveling to and from Southeast Asia. So, for example, you get a British guy or some VIP, I don't know who. It won't be Theresa May, obviously. It'll be someone else who's quite rich.
Yeah.
Wants to travel to the Philippines, for example. And then they would go on Google and they'd search, okay, which companies in Southeast Asia currently offer SIA, which is the Security Industry Authority, SIA accredited CP offices. And of course, you know, we'll come right up. So what they'll do is they'll ask us, look, you know, can you get us a CP officer and a driver for these dates, and I want them to be, for example, English speaking.
Yeah,
I want them to be ex-military, for example. They could even say, and we have received the request before, we would like them to be British, which is fine. We've got, you know, we've got an alumni network of ex-British Army people who have come through our courses and who currently reside in Southeast Asia. They'll say that, fine, we'll bill them a per day rate, and my officers will do the job. They'll come around, do the job. It's fine. Now, the second type of client will be multinationals, our multinationals. So they're the types of clients who come to us and say, look, you know, and they've usually been referred by other people, right? Check out Atlas. They're pretty good. They've got these guys and they're accredited by
they're recognized by the SIE in terms of certification. So they'll come to us and say, look, you know, there's a credible threat that has been made against X amount of executives. Can you provide a solution in terms of not just bodyguarding, but in terms of full spectrum, like route planning, for example, venue searching, make sure that my executives are safe in their own houses. So that sort of operation usually concerns three or four operatives instead of just one. It requires a lot more planning. It requires a lot more logistics. And it depends on the country we operate in as well. Because if it's a six-month contract, then we need to get work permits for people who are working in that country. Are they going to be carrying weapons, for example?
Mm. Does that pose a problem?
Usually it doesn't in terms of weapons, because most clients don't like their CP officers to carry firearms, because if you look at the amount of fatalities that have occurred over the past couple of years, it's usually the bodyguard's firearm that has injured the client. Mm. I'm not going to go into detail. I mean, obviously, if you Google, you'll get full details. I'm not going to name any names. But as a result of that, international clients are very reluctant for their CP officers to carry firearms.
Mm. Would you say then right now that the close protection is the kind of core of your business?
I would say so, yes. Right. We do two things, obviously. One, we offer the training. And number two, we offer the protective services itself.
Right.
Now, when I first started off this company, I thought, look, you know, we'll just focus on training. That's fine. Perhaps I was naive. Perhaps I didn't think of where we would be, where would we actually be now. But as the months passed, as the years passed, it was a natural progression from offering training to then offering services with our graduates. Mm. So yeah, we do two things, training and close protection operations.
All right, we're going to take a short break now. I'm talking to Clement Chu from Atlas Solutions. They are the leading integrated security training and service provider in Southeast Asia. My name is Rich Bradbury. You are tuned into Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business on Enterprise on BFM. I'm in the studio with Clement Chu. He's the founder and CEO of Atlas Solutions, a leading integrated security training and service provider in Southeast Asia. They supply UK and internationally recognized protection officers in and around the Southeast Asian. Not just that, though. We spoke a little bit earlier on about how you thought originally the core of your business was going to be the courses that you offer. Tell me a little bit about the courses that you offer. Maybe hint at perhaps some of the pricing and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so let's just start with our flagship program, the SIA Level 3 Close Protection Officer Program. What does SIA stand for? It's the Security Industry Authority. Is a quasi-government organization. That means GLC for Malaysians who are listening. That is linked to the Home Office and is regulated by the Home Office. Mm. The SIA regulates all security qualifications in the United Kingdom. And I know you might be thinking, why would people need a UK qualification to sort of work within, you know, Middle East and Southeast Asia? Now, the answer is quite simple. If you look at every single bodyguarding / close protection qualification around the world, you won't find any such qualification which has been formally vetted and recognized by a federal government. If you look at Australia, different states recognize different certifications. Mm. If you look at the United States, exactly the same thing. Mm. The United Kingdom, at this one point in time, its current point in time, is the only government that recognizes a certain standard of close protection.
Right.
Now, why do we focus on bodyguarding and not security guarding and door supervision, otherwise known as bouncing, but obviously politically correct term? Because close protection can be employed anywhere in the world. And get this, if you're not armed, it's very difficult to regulate close protection. What does this mean? So take, for example, we get a contract for the Philippines. And, you know, I keep mentioning Philippines because that's where a lot of our contracts come from. Now, they want a driver / escort for their man from the airport to their offices, to the places that they're seeing. Now, if I go, okay, look, yes, we'll supply you a protection officer. He shall be your security driver. Security driving is not regulated within this region. Okay. If then they were to say, look, I'd like him to carry a firearm, that's when it gets a bit more complicated.
Right.
And then, you know, it means that we have to work with local companies, and we do, to get the licensing requirements needed for the carriage of firearms. Mm. and obviously, you know, the performing of other duties as well.
And I'd assume those requirements change from country to country within Southeast Asia too.
That makes it a bit more complicated, especially when firearms are involved. Mm. For example, in Hong Kong and Singapore, you will not be carrying any firearms. Mm. The government simply does not allow it. In China as well. So Malaysia different. I mean, you need to be a Malaysian citizen and you need to be vetted by the Home Office or Kementerian Dalam Negeri here to be able to carry a firearm. And we work with our partner agencies, Warisan Wira Security and QC, Protection Investigations, owned by my school friend, Tunku Aznal. We work with him to make sure that we fulfill all licensing requirements. Mm.
So that was your SIA course. What other courses do you offer?
We offer a hostile environment awareness training course. And this is a course where we get lots of demand from journalist companies. For example, VSO, Voluntary Services Organization, are an example of companies that might require this. This sort of course prepares people for work within hostile regions. What I mean hostile regions, I mean if you're, for example, you're a journalist going to Afghanistan, or perhaps, let's bring it closer to home, you are an aid worker in Marawi in the Philippines, you know, after ISIS have been there, you know, you're there for the cleanup, you're there to help the people who have been affected by that war. Mm. Now, let's say you come from a country like, I don't know, Australia or even Kuala Lumpur even. Malaysia is an incredibly safe place. Mm-hmm. People are comfortable in this country. Mm. They're highly educated. They live a good life. So when you take someone from a safe space and you put them in a not so safe place, there are some things that they need to know. For example, how do you survive in the field? If someone gets injured next to you, do you know how to perform emergency first aid, for example? Mm. There will be multiple illegal checkpoints, especially in places like Myanmar and in the Philippines as well. How do you behave when you're confronted by these people manning the checkpoints? Usually these guys will be very angry and they'll probably be armed.
Yeah.
So how do you conduct yourself? Mm. Okay. What happens in a very, very rare occasion that you get kidnapped? How do you behave? You know, do you evade? Do you comply? You know, what's it like? So a lot of companies come to us and ask for this 2 to 3 day training course. And yes, while it's not accredited, you know, by the UK government, these are skills that we feel are very essential, are essential skills for people and companies looking to send their staff to volatile areas. So this, again, it's another popular course, but the client base, of course, are companies rather than individuals. The SIA course is based on individuals. So that we get people from Thailand, Australia, Singapore, and even we've had a number of British people who've flown over from the United Kingdom to Kuala Lumpur just to do the course.
How did you raise funds to start something like Atlas?
Okay, so we have a unknown benefactor, who does not wish to be revealed at this point in time. But you know, I went to school with some members of his family,
right?
And he felt that this was a good venture to go into. Mm. I mean, not just for profit, but just to bring the general standards of security up in terms of close protection within the region. That's how he financed us.
You know, you essentially have an angel investor.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't have to go through all the seeding and the Series A and Series B fundraising. No, he just went, look, you know, this is the money, you know, try and do the best you can with it, you know. And, you know, we'll see what happens in a couple of years' time.
And so far, you seem to be doing pretty good.
We're okay. I think, like I said, it's been tough building the market. But I think through very strong marketing, through very strong public engagement, I think we'll get there. We definitely will.
Okay. So cost for SIA and cost for hostile training, is that something you can talk about?
Yes, I can. Yeah. It's actually published on our website. So if I recall correctly, the cost for the course fee for the SIA close protection course at the moment is $2,900 or $2,899. So that's just for the course fee itself. It includes 14 days in Kuala Lumpur, obviously. The course is conducted over 2 weeks and our instructors are all accredited and approved by an awarding organization called Highfield, who in turn are recognized by the SIA. So it's not just, I'm going to do a course and I'm just going to certify people. No, there has to be a degree of accountability.
Yeah.
We are accountable to our awarding organization, who in turn are accountable to the UK government. So that means all our instructors need to be, you know, fit for purpose as well.
So, and if somebody was going to want to do that course, did they have to come with some kind of military background? Do they have to be ex-police or anything like that?
We don't actually ask for any law enforcement or military background. As a matter of fact, we have had a number of civilians who have come on the course, and we have deployed them successfully in executive protection roles. So, I mean, the term horses for courses, if you want to work in Iraq or Afghanistan and you want to, go on high-risk convoys to and from Basra, to the airport or, I don't know, Iraq, but, if you want to do that and you don't have any military experience, you have no formal military training, you've never been shot at before, and you want to do that sort of stuff, it's going to be really hard for me to sort of recommend deployment.
For sure.
Right? Whereas if you've been brought up in a civilian environment, if you've worked in an office, if you know how to navigate, corporate structure, and the client happens to be a higher ranking executive from an MNC, then perhaps you'd be better placed to do that sort of job.
Yeah.
Where etiquette and political correctness are called for.
Do you have many applicants for this course?
Yeah, we have a July course coming up. And so far, I think we've been lucky this time around. We've had a couple of groups sort of sign up, as in three or four people with their friends, them and their mates just want to come and sign up. And a lot of our clients tend to be, our clients, our customers, people who come on our courses, tend to be Westerners who are based in Southeast Asia, expats.
Right.
Okay. Unfortunately, the US dollar pricing does mean sometimes that locals are not able to afford the course.
Right.
And that's completely understandable. Okay, that's fine. And we're working on avenues to sort of assist them with it.
Right.
Military-assisted funding, for example.
Yeah.
The availability of microloans from certain banks that we're speaking to.
Yeah.
The opportunity and ability to take from your EPF and put it into this course as a trading type of fund. We're working very hard to achieve these things at the moment.
Okay. Hostile and environment?
HRDF, yes.
Hostile environment training?
Hostile environment training, that's more of an ad hoc basis. Okay, so once every couple of months, we'll get a company who will come and say, hey, look, we've been recommended by X and X. Can you do this course for us? 20 people, 10, 20 people. So we'll go, yes, of course. Here's a package. And if you want to include other people in that course, that's fine. Just make sure that we're aware of it. And if you want to charge them, that's fine as well. But this is our package. So we usually have no problems filling up the HEAT course. But CP course, the close protection course, requires a bit more marketing and a bit more, face-to-face client interaction.
Right. Okay, I think I've got one final question, but there's a bit of meat to it.
Yes.
It's about, we've recently had a change of government.
Yes.
Right? How has business being affected since the changeover in the government? Has there been much of a change?
Well, in terms of our close protection, the types of clients haven't changed. You still get the expats who live within the region, and you'll get a couple of locals who really want to go for these types of courses. But, we're entering into discussions with certain branches of the government at the moment, which in the past was not easily accessible to us, because obviously we didn't know the right people.
Right.
Now, we still don't know the right people, and
but
we're approaching
the
doors
open.
Are opened. Yes.
Right.
And obviously with the assistance of, our strategic directors, it's made it sort of clear the path slightly. So I'm not sure whether it's because the new government has changed, there's a new government or the old government has changed, or whether perhaps now that they feel that it's easier to sort of interact with honest business owners. I have no idea. But the channels and chains that we have to break through to go and negotiate with the government, it's going a bit more smoothly compared to last time. Not that we didn't give it a go last time.
So where do you see yourself as a company within the kind of next 5 or 6 years in?
Perhaps in the next 5 years, we could very much evolve to becoming the go-to protection service in Southeast Asia. And nothing would give me more joy than to have both the elements of training and protective services under our umbrella.
Clement, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for your time, Rich. Thanks for having us.
That was Clement Chu, the founder and CEO of Atlas Solutions, the leading integrated security training and service provider in Southeast Asia. You have been tuned into Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.